Welcome to the Running Explained podcast. I'm Elizabeth, a marathoner, running coach, and answer seeker. When I became a new runner at the age of 29, I had so many questions, but it felt like I was on my own to figure out all of the answers. So now I'm here to answer all your running questions to help make you a better, smarter, faster runner. There's no question too simple and no topic too complex. So let's get started.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Running Explained podcast. My name is Elizabeth. I'm very excited to have you here today. I am your host and your guest for this week, and we're going to talk about tapering. One of the most important parts of your race-specific training is your taper, and we're going to talk about what it is, why you do it, how to do it, and more. But first, I wanted to go through a couple fun businessy housekeeping related things that I am very excited about. One is that finally, Running Explained merchandise is available. A couple small options for you to choose from for now as we hopefully expand into more designs and pieces of things. Currently, shipping is free for anybody in the US. We also ship to Canada. And yes, international shipping is coming soon, but it's not currently available. So a couple fun things, some performance t-shirts, water bottle, mugs. Anyways, if you're interested in that and want to rep your Running Explained love, you can go to the website for all of that fun stuff. The other thing is I'm very excited to announce that our coaching team is growing once again, and there will be additional spots for one-on-one coaching opening up soon. So if you're on the wait list for that, stay tuned for an email to your inbox about how to take the next steps to work with one of our amazing coaches. And finally, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to the whole community just for all of your amazingness and the way that you are demonstrating your understanding of such important scientific concepts about training, but also scientific concepts about recovery in your daily lives. It makes me so happy whenever anybody tags me in a workout that they did or a rest day that they took. I'm equally excited about both, or a PR that they ran, or the very first time they accomplished something. I am so excited to celebrate every single one of your successes with you, big and small. So thank you. All right, today, the taper. What is a taper? Like, what even is it? When, why, how, where, what, who? Okay, a taper, the taper, your taper, is the final part of any race-specific training cycle. So when you're training for a race, you're training for 5K, 10K, half full marathon, the final section of your training cycle is going to be a taper. And a taper is when you progressively run less and less in the days and or weeks heading into race day. So yes, one of the final things you do to prepare for your race is to run less in the immediate period before your race actually occurs. Why? Why don't we just run up until race day? Won't that make us the fittest we can possibly be? No. You need the taper, you need that period of reduced training load in order to recover from the sometimes very significant levels of cumulative fatigue that you've accrued during your training cycle, the months that you've spent increasing your volume, adding intensity, doing all those long runs and all those workouts. Your body needs a chance to actually take a little bit of recovery time in your taper before you race so that you can race your fastest on your fresh legs. The taper is a chance for your body to do a little bit less so that it can recover and be able to do more on race day. And there are a bunch of different ways to conceptualize this. And depending on who I talk to, I like throw out a whole bunch of different like analogies, like your taper is like this or your taper is like that. But I want you to think about it this way. Training for a race is exhausting. A little bit every day exhausts you even more. The cool thing about your body is that it responds to the training and you get fitter and faster, but you're always carrying this level of fatigue or exhaustion on top of the fitness that you're gaining, right? So it's like, if you think of fatigue as like an actual physical thing, it's like having a layer of haze or cloudiness or gunk or grime built up on top of your, you know, hypothetical, theoretical training that you need to then scrub away in order to get your true race day fitness, right? Your taper is what allows you to run your fittest, fastest, be it your freshest on race day. It consolidates the benefits of training. It allows all of the training that you've done, all that fitness you've accumulated during your months of training, to actually reveal themselves to you on race day. The taper is, I would argue, one of the integral parts of your training cycle. But of course, your training cycle isn't just made up of a taper. You cannot taper from something you haven't built up in the first place. So the taper, like I said, is always going to be the final part of your race-specific training, but it requires you to have built up that level of fatigue, to have peaked at that really high or more intense or higher training volume in service of pursuing your race-specific goals, so that you taper down from that, right? So you can't just prepare for a race by like doing nothing and then doing even less. You need to have done the race-specific training, and the taper is that cherry on top. The science backs this up. The taper makes you a faster runner. When you don't taper, you don't run as fast as when you do taper, and you do taper properly versus improperly. The decades of research behind this show an improvement in performance in multiple different disciplines, not just running. Most sports, athletic pursuits, endeavors benefit from a taper. So yes, of course, while in running, it's the most obvious, right? Because we see we have the numbers in our plan, and then we see the numbers get smaller the closer we get to race day. But a taper is an important part of any performance-oriented goal where you build up and then you are achieving or trying to achieve peak performance on a specific day or in specific days. So tapering is just part of how the cycle of sports science works to make you your fittest on the day or days when it really, really counts. One of the biggest things about tapering, people ask me, what's the most important part of my taper? The most important part of your taper is that you actually do it, that you actually taper. And I'm not being like facetious when I say this and you're like, yeah, well, obviously you got to do it. No, you would be probably unsurprised, but most people struggle to taper properly, effectively, and to actually follow their taper as written. Your taper is a period of doing less at a time when you are most anxious about what's coming ahead because your race day is right in front of you. Many athletes get really squirrely during their taper and they do more than they should, or they do a last minute race, you know, just to test their fitness. This is not tapering properly. If you are not tapering properly, you are selling yourself short on race day. Like if you're not tapering properly, you are not, I want to say, throwing away all the work you've done up until now because you are objectively faster and fitter than you were before you started the training cycle, but you are sabotaging your race day performance by not tapering the way you're supposed to. So the one of the most important things about your taper is that you actually taper. You actually follow your plan. You actually listen to your coach. You actually taper the way you're supposed to. Don't do more. Don't do more. Tapering is not a time to add. Tapering is a time to take away. If you think I'm just being a little bit glib when I talk about how a lot of runners really struggle with their taper, we actually have some data to back that up. So some researchers looked at data collected from Strava about marathoners, recreational and variety of marathoners, and their tapering habits. And they took data from 158,000 recreational marathon runners and analyzed their training and their taper and their performance and came up with some conclusions about what different types of tapers were associated with what kind of results. So the title of the article gives away the conclusion. Longer disciplined tapers improve marathon performance for recreational runners. This is a study done in 2021, so very recent, looking at data from 2014 to 2017. And it analyzed, like I said, it's an absolutely massive data set from Strava. And runners who followed a strict taper, as in a taper that was properly and progressively reduced week over week in the weeks heading into their race day. So we'll talk about this a little bit more, but for a marathon, your taper period is typically 2 to 3 weeks long. Some runners may choose to do a slightly longer or a slightly shorter taper, but in general, that is the structure of a marathon taper, where you're progressively doing less week over week in the 2 to 3 weeks heading into race day. Runners who followed the strict taper, as in the way you're supposed to taper, had faster results than runners who either didn't taper or who had what's called a relaxed taper, as in maybe they, you know, drop their volume in the third week, but then like increase it in the second week. And then, yeah, so either they did not follow what are considered the proper reductions in training for a taper. And the data is pretty clear in that runners who followed a strict taper ran faster than runners who didn't taper properly, who followed a relaxed taper. And when the researchers controlled for gender and ability, right? So we equalize all the results and, you know, take out the effect that gender might have or the effect that actual finish time might have. This is really interesting stuff, okay? Because this cuts through all of the, but what about the this, that, the other, ability, finish, time, gender? No, when we control for those effects, we can see how important the actual taper is to the finishing time. So a strict 2 week taper is associated with the mean reduction in marathon time of 3.68 minutes, all other things being equal. If you taper for 2 weeks and you follow your taper properly, you're going to run on average 3.68 minutes faster than somebody who did not follow a strict 2 week taper, who followed a relaxed 2 week taper or tapered for less than 2 weeks, or maybe did a 3 week taper but did a relaxed 3 week taper. In comparison, the relaxed 2 week taper is associated with a 2.32 minute finish time reduction. Okay, so yeah, you tapering at all makes you run faster, but tapering properly gets you to run fastest. The strict 3 week taper is associated with a 4.16 minute reduction compared to the 3.67 minute reduction of the strict 2 week taper. Okay, so this research is suggesting that possibly a 3 week taper may be more beneficial to marathon runners than a 2 week taper. We'll actually talk about specific tapering lengths and strategies and a little bit later. The interesting thing is that the longer your taper gets, you actually do run up against a wall with benefits. So although the general range for tapering, depending on what you're tapering for and everything, can range anywhere from 4 to 28 days in total, when we go up to a 4 week taper in this study, you are still going to run faster than somebody who didn't taper, but you're not going to run as fast as you did for somebody who only did a 3 week taper, right? So more is not necessarily better when it comes to tapering. You need to do just enough, not too much. And this is one of the trickiest things when it comes to tapering. And I'm going to tell you right now, tapering itself is as much about learning about your body and how you respond to training and tapering as the whole rest of your training is, right? How you respond to volume, how you respond to intensity, how you perform on race day. Understanding how different kinds of tapers affect you is really, really important. Over time, some runners may come to understand that they actually really prefer a 2 week taper or a 10 day taper. Some runners really enjoy a 2.5 week or a 3 week taper, right? So it really all depends on what you personally respond best to, because we are always trying to balance that recovery from not getting too flat or too stale or not doing enough in our taper, which is another issue that we come across sometimes. All right, so let's start out with the outset here, understanding that massive, massive data set shows that in specifically marathoning, but we know all the research shows is that tapering improves performance, and that tapering properly improves your performance more than kind of tapering in a loosey-goosey way, right? So that's why it's so important to follow the taper in your plan and not to add stuff or to get squirrely and go race that 10K the weekend before your marathon. Mm-mm-mm. That's not how you taper. All right, how do you taper? A taper is a progressive nonlinear reduction of the training load in an attempt to reduce the physiological and psychological stress of daily training and optimize sports performance. The aim of the taper should be to minimize accumulative fatigue without compromising adaptations. So this is from research done. So one of the most prominent researchers on tapering is a gentleman called Iñigo Mojica. He's done a lot of research on tapering when it comes to sport performance. And so a lot of articles, if you look up tapering in PubMed or anything like that, you're going to see a lot of articles that are co-authored by him. And it's just absolutely fascinating stuff. But what is a progressive non-linear production of the training load? Okay. So in a taper, I said you run less, right? So although we are reducing our training volume week over week, we are not running less every single day. What does this mean? Let's use a half marathon, for example, and say in your peak week or your last big week of training before your taper, let's say you ran 5 days a week and you had a total training volume of 35 miles and your long run was 13 miles, okay? And you know, having followed a training plan, a properly written training plan of any kind, that on any given day in your training plan, you run a little something a little bit different, right? So you have shorter runs, you have a long run, maybe you have a workout, but your Tuesday run is going to be different from your Wednesday run. They're different lengths, they have different purposes. That is a normal part of your training plan. So in a taper, do you just run less every single day? Like, do I run 8 miles and then I run 6 miles and I run 4 miles and I run 2 miles? No. So that would be a linear reduction, right? A progressive non-linear reduction in the taper means that we take each week and we just slash the volume of the week equally, pretty much, on any given day, right? So that means that the first week of your taper, after that peak week of 35 miles with a 13-mile long run, your taper, the first week of your taper, you're still going to run 5 days a week. You're still going to have a long run, but the volume of every individual run and, of course, the volume of your long run and the total volume of your week will be less than your peak week. There are general guidelines when it comes to reducing volume, depending on how long your taper is and what you're training for, et cetera, et cetera. Generally speaking, if you're following a 3-week taper, you are typically going to reduce, and this is all based on peak week volumes, you're typically going to reduce that first taper week by a total of about 20 to 30%, right? So you're going to run 70 to 80% of your normal volume. The second week, you're going to run between 40 and 60% of your total training volume. And then the week of your race, you're going to run something like 20 to 30% of your total training volume in your days leading up to your race. Okay. So this is a really important concept. Your race itself does not count towards your weekly volume in your race week. So if you are organizing the final week of your taper and you're saying I'm running 20 to 30% of my peak week volume, you just do each individual day, right? So if in a peak week, let's say your Wednesday run was, for ease of understanding this, let's say your Wednesday run in peak week was 10 miles. Okay. In your race week, your Wednesday run will be 20 to 30% of that peak week volume. So 2 to 3 miles. Obviously, most people don't have a Wednesday run that's 10 miles long. But if you did, that's roughly how it would be. In a 2-week taper, it's a little bit more, I want to say abrupt, but we cut volume in that first week more dramatically because, of course, we have 2 weeks to work with instead of 3. So we kind of skip that first week reduction altogether. And typically in a 2-week taper, we're cutting total training volume by about 40%. So you run about 60%, 50, it could be 40 to 60%, probably 40 going from, yeah, 40% would be a huge reduction, roughly 60% of your total training volume. And then in that second week, the final week of your taper, again, 20 to 30%. The big thing about the taper is that you don't drop intensity. So one of the things that people misunderstand about the taper is that you are basically taking your whole training load, your easy runs, if you have workouts, strides, hill sprints, et cetera, and doing roughly the same proportion of those different things, just less overall. So if you have workouts, if you have speed work, if you have you know, threshold runs, not necessarily you do a threshold run in your taper, but that has to do with the periodization of how you would train for specific races. If you have hard stuff in your week, you still have hard stuff in your taper. You just have less of it. You have a lower percentage of your total volume, right? So this would look something like, a really easy way to conceptualize this is something like strides. Let's say in your peak week, your normal post-run strides, you do 6, right? But in your taper, you do 4. And maybe in race week, you're doing like 3 or 4 instead of, you know, 4. So you still do the intensity, you just do less of it. Why? Why don't we cut out intensity? Because intensity is hard and requires a lot of recovery, right? Well, the whole point is that we want to keep all of our systems primed to perform well on race day. And a huge part of racing is keeping our neuromuscular system tuned up. And we can't drop all of our intensity during our taper or else our neuromuscular system will suffer. So if you have intensity in your days, in your week, if you have workouts, strides, quality days, goal pace, goal effort, speed work, whatever it is, you're probably going to have or should have some of that in your taper as well, just at a reduced volume overall, because of course, in our taper, we run less. You know what you can do during your taper to take your mind off the fact that your race is coming up? You can go shopping for a special pair of race day gooders that will help you run your fastest, well, certainly your freshest on race day. Gooder sunglasses are polarized, no slip, no bounce. In my personal opinion, the best running sunglasses out there, and they are super affordable, starting at only $25 a pair. And that's before your 15% off discount using code RUNEXP. That's right. You can save 15% off your next order on gooder.com using code RUNEXP and grab a pair or a few pairs for your upcoming races. That's code RUNEXP on gooder.com. GOODR.com. Look good, run gooder. Now, typically we talk about tapering. We're more focused on those long distance races. The longer your training cycle, the longer your taper is typically going to be as well. Like if you've been training for something for 24 weeks, a long distance event, maybe a marathon or an ultra marathon, you're probably going to have a 3-week taper. If you're training for a half marathon and you've been doing it for 12 weeks, you're probably going to have a 2-week taper. You still taper before your shorter races as well, before your 5Ks and your 10Ks. Those tapers might be more like 1 to 2 weeks. Like I said, that the huge kind of range of possible taper lengths, depending on what you're training for, is anywhere from 4 to 28 days long. But we know that tapering improves performance. Of course, in-season athletes, if you're running cross country or track, you're probably going to be doing mini tapers more in that 4-day range before your key races, and the training intensity distribution of your training and your overall volume will also change when you are in competition phase compared to in preparation phase. That's a little bit different. So we talked specifically mostly about runners who are training for one very specific race where they train, taper, race. If you are an in-season athlete and you are running multiple races in your season, you are likely going to have more of like a competition phase where you're still tapering for your individual races, but those tapers are themselves relatively short, only a couple days heading into your races. Also because if you're that kind of athlete, you're probably running pretty short races, right? You're not running half marathons in season as a collegiate or a high school athlete, right? You're running track, you're running cross country, you're running, you know, short, middle, or the shorter end of long distance races, right? 5,000 and 10,000 meter races. So it's a little bit different as well. Sometimes people will look at the training of elite runners and think, well, that runner doesn't taper at all. They do. I promise you they do. And I think this misconception comes a lot with people look at like that one article that was written about Kipchoge's training log in 2017 and decided to make a whole crap ton of assumptions about how he specifically trains for things. First of all, What did I say at the very beginning is that one of the most important things about the tapering process and how you do it cycle over cycle over cycle is learning how your body specifically responds to tapers. What is best for you as an athlete? Elite and higher level runners may find that they benefit from a shorter overall taper because one, their base fitness, their base volume heading into race specific training is extraordinarily high. And even the best runners in the world, elite marathoners, they may only spend 12 weeks specifically preparing for a marathon, where most of us regular people are going to spend 16, 18, 20, 24 weeks preparing for a marathon. Why? Because they're already running massive volume. They're already running 80, 90 miles a week, right? So part of one of the biggest things about preparing for any endurance event is making sure that your endurance is ready. And most of us need time to build our endurance in our training cycle, where for elite runners who are already coming from a very, very high base volume, they have the endurance. All they're working on is the race-specific prep at that point in time. So technically, they're only doing race-specific training for 10, 12 weeks. They don't need a three-week taper. They can do a 7, 10, maybe 14-day taper, and that is what works best for them. But of course, it's something that they have learned and refined over the years that they've been performing at that level. They are still tapering. I promise you, they are still tapering. It just might not look like your three-week marathon taper, and that's okay. I would also caution anybody against designing their training based on whatever some of the absolute best runners who have ever lived are doing, because they are practically superhuman, and just 1 week of training at the level they're training at would break most people, right? So don't read too much into what Kipchoge is doing with his taper about what you should be doing with your taper. They are a little special in many ways. All right, the taper. What happens in your taper beyond the fact that you run less? Are there things that happen? Are there things that we're looking for that we can measure and say, yeah, when you taper, this happens? Absolutely. So first of all, let's go through some taper side effects you might be experiencing, and we can talk about the explanation for some of those and also some of the things that are happening to you physiologically when you taper. So one of the things you may have learned about the taper, first off, is that there's something called the taper crazies or the taper tantrums. And this is a state of psychological distress brought on by the fact that you're running less and your race day looms large. Okay, so this is more about the fact that your body absolutely adores routine, and running less does take it out of its routine a little bit, coupled with the fact that you are coming up on race day pretty quickly and you're starting to freak out a little bit. That's all very normal. It is very normal to feel this way during your taper. This specific phenomenon is where most people then deviate from the path and say, I'm freaking out. I gotta go do this and add that. No, remember, don't add into your taper. Never add. You're only taking away. Okay, so do not let the taper tantrums or the taper crazies derail your taper. Understand that that state of anxiety or psychological distress or emotional discomfort is a normal part of the tapering process. If you feel it, if you don't, cool, good for you. But it is very common for athletes to freak out during their taper because they're doing less, not understanding that doing less is the point, and then they do more, and then they have a bad race day. Okay, so psychologically, tapering can be uncomfortable for a variety of reasons, because you're out of your routine and you have a big race coming up and it feels like you're not doing enough to prepare, when actually you should be doing less to prepare your best. The other thing that happens a lot in your taper is you may feel some little like naggles pop up, right? So maybe you have some weird muscular soreness or a weird kind of ache or a pain here and there, and you freak out and think, oh my God, I got injured in my taper. Unlikely, unlikely. What is likely happening here is that, as we know, endurance running is pretty hard on your body. It's a high impact sport. It takes a lot. Even really healthy runners struggle with injuries from now and then. What's likely happening when that random foot pain pops up, assuming it's some sort of minor ache and more of a like a discomfort that's freaking you out rather than a holy crap, I cannot run, whatever, wherever the thing pops up, whether it's in your calf or your hamstring or your butt or wherever it is, this is your body likely addressing a little minor thing that it's just trying to heal. Okay. So sometimes when we experience these minor aches and pains, it's actually our body responding to and repairing something that needed to repair. It's happening in your taper because your body finally has the resources, because you're running less, to spend time repairing the things that it didn't have time or resources to repair before. Okay, so think of it like your body, you've just asked it to push through this whole big project and reach the deadline. And like, finally, now that the deadline is reached, you can do your laundry and do your dishes again, right? That's your taper. Your body's like, I can catch up on my chores. And it's repairing all these little naggles, all these little things that have maybe popped up that didn't prevent you from running, but now it's repairing them. And what you're feeling is probably just a little bit of the neurological involvement of some minor inflammation, but all very, 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 very normal to experience minor aches and pains during your taper. It's also very normal to feel very hungry during your taper. Again, repair, resources, recovery. Your body is not a machine. It needs those things like food to do its job correctly. And in no time more so than in your taper, when your goal is recovery, even though you're running less, you still need to eat like an athlete, especially heading into a couple days before race day when you should probably be carb loading for any race longer than 90 minutes. That is an entirely separate episode from season one with Holly Samuel, carbs, carb loading, and glycogen. But yes, you should eat when you're hungry. And if you're hungrier than normal during your taper, that is also completely normal. You need to eat, eat, eat. I don't care that you're running less. Your body doesn't care that you're running less. Your body is asking you for resources, and you need to give your body the resources to do its job so it can repair all the little things, so it can get you ready for race day. If you starve yourself in your taper, it's not going to turn out well on race day. And finally, the thing that you may find most challenging about your taper is that suddenly your running might feel kind of like crap. Again, repair. Hello, repair. It's just like a down week. It's like a down week on steroids. You may have found during your training that during down weeks, even when you were running less, you kind of just felt crappy. That's okay. It is normal to feel like, excuse me, I'm going to swear, earmuffs. It's normal to feel like shit during your taper. If you don't, that's great. But if you do, that's normal. Okay? The whole point is that your body is going through the repair and recovery process so that you feel good on race day. I don't care what you feel like 10 days before your race. I care what you feel like on race day. The whole point about tapering is that you can feel good on race day. Your body can work through all of these issues, cross its T's and dot its I's, and fix everything that's broken before you toe the line on race day. That's the point of the taper. So all this taken together is that you may think that the taper is some magical time where you're going to feel amazing. You're not probably going to feel amazing in your taper. That's okay. It doesn't matter. It matters that you feel amazing on race day. Generally speaking, we're looking at a performance improvement of 2-3% compared to not tapering. Now you might think 2-3%. Well, that's not a lot. That doesn't seem like very much. 2-3%. Screw it. Why taper? That is the difference between running a 4-hour marathon and a 3-hour and 52-minute marathon. That's the difference between running a 2-hour half marathon and a 1-hour and 56 marathon, or a 1-hour 10K and a 58-minute 10K. Okay? Those percentages add up, especially in long distance races. I'm sure you would love to drop 8 minutes off your marathon time just by simply tapering. How cool is that? Notwithstanding all the fitness you've gained through your training cycle, you can get an additional X number of minutes just by doing less in your taper. Absolutely, sign me up. The taper is where the magic happens, okay? What is the magic, though? What is this taper magic that we talk about? What actually happens? What actually improves your performance in your taper? Tapering gives you up to 20% increases in your power, your neuromuscular function, and your strength. Between a 1-9% improvement in your VO2 max. I know it's a big range, but I'll take any percentage improvement in my VO2 max that I can get. You can get up to an 8% increase in your running economy, up to a 15% increase in your red blood cell volume. Hello, very, very, very important for endurance athletes. up to a 20% reduction in the markers of stress and overtraining. In your peak weeks, you may kind of feel like you're entering overtraining territory. And although we want to avoid being actually overtrained, we do want to work ourselves as much as we can, but then of course recover from it. Tapering is part of that recovery process. In the taper, you also get up to a 5% increase in testosterone, which is good. You want that. That helps with your recovery. And a 5% decrease in cortisol. This is good. Cortisol is a stress hormone. You kind of want it to be lower than, you know, than too high, especially during a period where you are trying to recover. So all of this builds up to being able to run faster on race day. If I haven't convinced you yet, don't know how else to convince you. Tapering is such an important part of the process.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What should you do about strength and other things in your taper? This is a really good question that I get all the time. And always remember, take away, don't add. Take away, don't add. Take away, don't add. Depends on what you're doing in your training other than running. If you have a pretty significant heavy lifting schedule going on, you're lifting heavy 1, 2, 3 times a week, you are going to want to treat this like a deload period as well. It doesn't mean stop lifting, but instead of lifting heavy, you might reduce the weight. So maybe you're going through and doing body weight or reducing the overall weight, right? So you're doing the same number of reps, but lower weight. Again, keeping the neuromuscular systems primed. The benefits from strength training last quite a while. So you don't need to be lifting up until race day in order to get the benefits from your lifting, as long as you're continuing with some of that neuromuscular, keeping that sharp. So continue to lift, but lift lighter. And by lifting lighter, that does not, again, does not mean more reps. It means same number of reps, but lighter weight. You could also drop the weight entirely and just do body weight. If your strength already is body weight, I would focus more on mobility instead of strength. And then in your race week, we want to be really judicious about what we're doing and do kind of the bare minimum. And maybe that's like 5 to 10 minutes of really light mobility or core work. Not your normal 20 to 30 minutes of, you know, really intense body weight or heavy lifting, whatever you're doing for your strength. For other things, if you, again, you want to do less, not cut it out. The exception to this, I would say, would be things like fitness classes. You don't want to continue going to fitness classes during your taper. And I would also say, if you are including regular things like a cross training day or days in your schedule, keep those, but again, do less, less volume overall. If you normally do a 60 minute easy effort ride on Mondays, follow the progressive reduction in training volume as you go through your taper. So for a 2 week taper, instead of 60 minutes in that first week of your taper, you're doing like 40 minutes. And then in the week of your race, the second week of your taper, you're doing like 20 minutes. Okay. We want to do the same things, just less of them. Now we've talked a lot about the physical side, the physiological side of tapering, how to do less, what kind of less to specifically do, and briefly about the taper crazies and kind of the anxiety about race day and all that kind of stuff. But I want to reiterate again how important it is that the mental stress doesn't overwhelm your taper. I tend to find that athletes who struggle in their taper have a hard time trusting the process. And that's understandable. I completely get that. How are you supposed to trust that this thing that you're trying to do but have never done before, it's going to work out because you did these long runs, you did that workout, but you never got close to running the whole distance at race pace, or you never, you know, got close to running the full distance of the race before race day. It's normal to be apprehensive about how this is supposed to work. But I promise you, This is how the training works. This is how the training is supposed to go. I've also seen athletes tell me that tapering doesn't work for them. And then they describe what they've done previously in their taper and they haven't tapered properly at all. And of course the taper didn't work for you. Of course you didn't feel great on race day because you didn't taper properly. Now, I want to reiterate that everybody responds to taper slightly differently, and it might be up to you to go through several cycles of training to figure out which training with tapering methodology you prefer, the length, duration and types of things that you do in your taper, 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that sort of thing, when your last big workout is, et cetera, et cetera. But tapering works for everyone. It works for everyone. If it hasn't worked for you, you just haven't found the right tapering strategy yet. Back to the mental side. This is a big one, right? How do you deal with the stress of being in your taper? How do you not let the anxiety overwhelm you? Because mental and emotional stress is stress. And if you are, yes, doing less physically, but you can barely sleep because you're so anxious, that's not healthy or good for your performance. Obviously, extreme anxiety like that, I would highly recommend talking to a professional or your coach if you have one. If you are so anxious about this race that you are freaking out during your taper, I would encourage you to go through the exercise of asking yourself, what are you afraid of? What happens if you don't hit your goal on race day? And is it really going to be that big of a deal? I mean, of course, it's a big deal. We work very hard to achieve our goals. But the worst that can happen on race day is that you don't run as fast as you hoped. And I say this with all the love in my heart as somebody who has personally cried after races that didn't go very well. It's just a race. It's okay. There will be another one. Learning to manage your emotions and your anxiety and your stress around training and racing is such a valuable tool. And if you find yourself so overwhelmed by stress, anxiety, dread, overwhelming emotions in your taper, I'd really encourage you to just take a step back, take a deep breath, and say, okay, first of all, tapering is part of the process. I'm doing the right thing. Give yourself permission to be a little anxious. That's okay. That's normal. Maybe even good to be a little bit anxious because it means that you're engaged and you're, you know, in the goal and you're excited about it. And you might perform a little bit better when you're a little bit anxious, right? But we want to avoid being so anxious that we are basically non-functional, right? So take a step back, take a deep breath. Tapering is part of the process, and I am doing the right thing by doing less. Doing less in my taper is okay because that's how I'm going to run fast on race day. And I want you to say it and I want you to believe it because it's true. The taper is an integral part of your race day success. You are going to be okay. You're just running less. You're not stopping altogether. Now, finally, the flip side of tapering is that we talked about people who struggle to taper properly in that they tend to do too much or maybe, you know, don't taper for as long as they should have. But we do have the flip side of people who over taper, the flip side of doing not enough in your taper, tapering for too long. And we touched on this in the talking about the study on all the marathoners, the 158,000 marathoners, in that a 4-week taper, although it still elicited performance benefits, was not nearly as effective as the 3-week taper. Now, there are some people for who a longer taper, like 4 weeks, is going to be the right option, but those runners are going to be fewer and far between. These runners, we talk about kind of alluding to the length of the training cycle can help guide your taper. If you have done like a 6-month-long training cycle, you may be in the market for a longer taper. I would say probably 3 weeks. Like if I were writing a training cycle that was literally 4, 5, 6 months long of race specific training, including down weeks, including the proper periodization. But if I had one runner training for one single race for 6 solid months, they would at minimum be doing a 3-week taper. Yeah, that's a long, long time to progressively overload before you give yourself a break, right? And a break means a real recovery period, either before the race and, of course, after the race as well. So the longer the training cycle, the longer the taper tends to be. Some masters runners may also benefit from a longer taper. You may find that as you age in the sport, you benefit from a longer taper compared to when you were younger. You know, so if you are used to doing a 2-week taper, but now you're a masters athlete, maybe you're in your 50s or your 60s or your 70s, and you may benefit from something like a 3-week taper, or possibly a 4-week taper heading into race day. And then, of course, you know, we always want to make sure that we are doing some running, not no running. So although I kind of gave those general guidelines of percentages and volumes, and of course, it depends on if you're going for a linear taper, as in you progressively reduce, you know, week over week, not run over month, but week over week. You can also do things like an exponential decay taper, where you drop your training volume pretty dramatically, but then maintain that lower volume for a little bit longer. So there are different ways to play with your taper, right? So if you've been coming from a super high volume place, let's say you're running, you know, 80 miles a week, you might drop to like 40, you know, week over week, but then maintain in that relatively lower place and reduce from there, rather than going 80 to 60 to blah, blah, blah. So there are a couple different ways, right? That linear versus the exponential decay on the taper. And then, of course, like I said, you want to make sure you're running enough. And for some runners who have had the experience of doing too much in their taper, sometimes they swing to the opposite direction and like don't do enough in their taper. You want to make sure that you're running in your taper. You may or may not drop days, and it's uncommon, but for some plans, but let's say you're running 6 days a week in your taper, you'll probably be running at least 5 days a week. You don't like drop volume by dropping days. You drop the volume of all the days that you run. Of course, until like if one of your runs end up being like a mile long, you might drop that for a rest day or maybe a low intensity active recovery session instead. But if you find yourself, hey, you know, well, I tapered for this race and I felt really flat on race day. I just felt kind of like, you know, I couldn't really get my legs going. And I just felt like not tired, but just flat and like, yeah, I didn't do great and it was fine. But, you know, and then you think about the taper and say, well, I tapered for 3 weeks and, you know, I stopped running a lot. I ran something like 2 times a week. And well, that's probably not enough. You probably either tapered too long or you didn't do enough in your taper. Now, obviously, this category of runner where they're doing too little in their taper is far, far less common than the runner who does too much in their taper, but they do exist. So in either case, you're trying to figure out how did this taper go for me, I will always encourage you to keep a training log in your training cycle so you can go back and review how things went, because it's really easy to assign some revisionist thinking about things if we don't take contemporaneous notes. So you might, you know, if you go through, let's say, a classic 2-week taper before your marathon, and then you have X performance on race day, you know, based on your performance on race day, you might start having some revisionist thinking about how your taper went, forgetting that you did this in your taper when you weren't supposed to, or, you know, whatever happened in your taper, and taking notes in your training cycle on the day. Don't have to write a novel every single time that you go for a run, but just making notes about how it went, how you felt, and then comparing that, because like I said, it's easy to forget what actually happened. So if your race went really well, you might forget that it was down to the fact that you actually properly tapered, right? Because we can only remember so much information at any given time. Or if your race went really poorly, it's easy to forget that like you didn't really taper. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. The other thing I sometimes see with runners is that they will not taper at all or taper really poorly and have a great race on race day. And to that I say, but imagine how much faster you would have run if you actually tapered. And I actually went through this myself a couple years ago, where I ran a half marathon PR the weekend before I ran a marathon. It was COVID. Okay, don't judge me. I was doing this all by myself. But I ran a marathon and I did really well. And I was in retrospect, I'm thinking, how fast would I have run if I hadn't run that dang marathon the weekend before? And I'd actually done more than just like a basic barely run for a week, right? So it's not to say that not tapering, and this is, again, it's hard to prove the negative, right? So you can still taper poorly and have a good race, but it probably wouldn't have been as good of a race as if you tapered properly. So don't let the fact that you had that one experience that worked out pretty well for you make sweeping generalizations about tapering as a thing, because we know the science behind tapering actually works to give you a better race day. So what can you do during your taper when you're running less? How can you best use your taper to your advantage? Obviously, keep on top of what you're doing with your recovery. So this means, like I said, eating enough. If you're hungry, you should eat, especially in your taper. Sleep. Use all that extra time you have to sleep more. Sleep is such an important part of our recovery. And sometimes when we are training at our really high volumes, we sacrifice sleep here and there to get those runs done. Sleep deprivation never improved anybody's performance. You need enough sleep, especially during your taper. So use that extra time to get to bed a little bit earlier, to sleep in a little bit later, to get more sleep in your taper. That will only improve your recovery and hopefully therefore your race day performance. Make sure that, of course, in the week before your race, you're not only carb loading. If your race distance calls for that, really any race longer than 90 minutes, you will benefit from carb loading, but you're also staying on top of your hydration, including electrolytes. If you're only focusing on hydration the day before your race, it's not enough time to fix any deficits that you might have. Focusing on dehydration the week of the race is going to make sure you are properly hydrated heading into race day. And of course, always figuring out the last minute things that you can do, like finalizing your race day outfits, especially, and say outfits plural, if the weather is going to be kind of weird and you're not quite sure what you're going to get, you might have a couple different options depending on what the day throws at you. Finalizing your checked bag, the gear you're bringing, if you're traveling for your race, packing, making sure that you aren't forgetting anything, making sure you're stocked up with all the right flavors of gels that you use or the fuel that you prefer, that your favorite socks don't have holes in them, right? That you have gotten all your bib and you know where the parking is and haven't forgotten anything. You have spent months training for this race. Use this time to your advantage, right? Planning is your best friend. And now that you're tapering, you have more time. So it can help to keep your mind a bit busy and not dwell on the fact that you're running less. And how is that possibly going to help you become more ready for race day? Because it does. Recovery is such an important part of it, but also that it gives you something to do where it feels like you're actively still working towards your goal. If you are planning for your race day in the logistics phase, fill out your race day planner. Get your free one on the website. Fill out your race day planner. Make your ABCD goals. Write out your nutrition and hydration strategy. And get psyched. Get excited for your race that's coming up. Tapering is a science and an art. And if you mess it up, it's okay. There's always going to be another race on your calendar where you can try again. The very last, I just forgot that I hadn't addressed this before. Do you taper for races in the middle of your training cycle? For example, if you're running a half marathon as your big goal race, but you're running a tune-up 10K halfway through your training, do you taper for that 10K? Not in the traditional sense. You would never do like a two-week taper in the middle of a marathon training cycle so you can run your half marathon. Tune-up races are meant to be run on fatigued legs. Tune-up races are meant to be run as part of your training. And that's why it can be a little bit hard to sometimes extrapolate race results from a tune-up race when it comes to your A race goal setting, because you're running on such tired legs. So in tune-up races, you tend to want to run them on legs as fresh as you can get them without impacting your overall training too much. I personally prefer to place tune-up races at the end of down weeks. So you would basically get a mini taper, talked about that being in competition with athletes in season, right? So we have like a mini taper, maybe it's 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. So you are, it's not technically tapering, it's a down week. You're not tapering for the race, you're just resting your legs, you're recovering a little bit. I guess it's technically a taper, but it's not really, it's a down week. But yes, if you can, you may want to structure your training so that your down weeks are the weeks of race, of tune-up races, you know, especially thinking about marathons and a half marathon. If you can do a down week mini taper for your half marathon, you're probably going to be a bit of a happier camper, if you can run on legs that are a little bit fresher than they would otherwise be in the middle of the absolute slog that is marathon training. But no, you don't taper, multi-week taper, for races that are done in the middle of your cycle. Do you need to taper for a fun run? No, of course not. You know, if going out and running a 5K is no big deal for you, you don't need to taper for it. It's completely fine. You could if you wanted to, but remember, you cannot taper down from something that you haven't built up in the first place. Good luck with all of your tapers this fall, my friends. I hope you do wonderfully at your races. Remember that tapering is part of the process. It's very normal and natural, and it can always help to talk to somebody about how you're feeling, especially another runner who will understand completely how you feel. But I would also urge you not to get too bought into the fact that you're supposed to feel like absolute crap during your taper, that tapering is supposed to be this time where you're like riddled with anxiety and freaking out every day. Because that kind of stereotype isn't helpful for you if you are the kind of person who tends to freak out about stuff anyways. But also, you know, there are ways to go through your taper where you can stay engaged but not freak out all the time. One of the best tapers I had, I wasn't freaking out at all because I trusted the process. I understood what the point of what I was doing was. The whole point was the recovery. I was keeping my systems primed by running some. I knew I wasn't going to feel great in my taper. That's not the point of the taper. The point is to feel good on race day. And I just accepted this as part of the training, and everything turned out just fine. Thank you so much for listening. I'm really excited to have you here today. I'm really excited about the guests that we have lined up for the rest of this year. Some big names and big surprises in store. So until next time, happy running. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Don't forget, you can always find and follow me on Instagram at Running Explained. And if you're looking for a coach or a training plan, check me out. Visit my website, runningexplained.co. That's runningexplained.co. See you next time. This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you have regarding a medical condition.